Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience here in Mississippi, joining us at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, it's tuning in online around the world via our podcast. We're glad you all could join us as well. Well, we always talk about on this program about the importance of believing in yourself and going after your goals and dreams. And our next two guests have been able to kind of take those messages and give us a great book. We're excited to welcome to our broadcast today Mark Ucra, as well as Tara McMahon. They're the co-authors of the book Closet of Dreams. We're going to talk to them not only about the tremendous success the book is already having, it just came out in March of this year, but also what it's been like for them to share this great message, their love of storytelling with the world, and of course let you guys know how to stay connected with the two of them too. Mark, Tara, thank you so much for the time. Really do appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you, Cyrus.
Pleasure to be here, Cyrus.
Pleasure to be here.
The pleasure is definitely all mine. Tara, I want to begin with you. You and I were talking briefly before we went live here. I mean, what has it been like for you since the book came out in March to see the way that readers of all ages are resonating with it?
To say the least, it's been very exciting, kind of a whirlwind, almost overwhelming, Cyrus. We're so grateful to have had the interest and popularity that the book's received. So we're just beginning. So it's exciting. The adrenaline rush is pretty high. And like I said, we're so grateful for our readers and our supporters and all the people that have helped us to get here.
Such a great point. Mark, what about for yourself? I mean, people have known you and gotten to know you for other things, but what has it been like for you now to this children's book to be able to see how our readers are resonating with you?
Cyrus, I can tell you emphatically that I am overwhelmed by the response. And I'm not talking about the children that have read the book. I'm talking about my peers, 65 plus, that have read the book and talking to me about the messages and the wonderful image that are created in their minds from their childhood.
Right. And it's not surprising either. I think anyone who reads the book, I initially got it on my Kindle, and I thought about when I was reading it that, you know, there are so many great messages in it for us. So I want to ask you, Tara, I mean, I know storytelling is not new to you, but what has it been like for you to share your love of storytelling with the world?
Well, it's, again, I'm using the word exciting. It's always an adventure. Mark and I do not have the plot scripted out, and so we don't know where the story's taking us either. So this book, the next book, this is going to be a series. These are all adventures for us, too, if that answers your question.
Yeah. And Mark, what about to that point that Tara was just making? I mean, what has it been like for you to take your mutual love of being able to share messages, which I think, other than this book being entertaining, it definitely does share great messages. What is it like for you to combine those together to create a book like this?
That's a very good question, Cyrus. I don't think we actually set out with any goals in mind. In the storytelling, as Tara mentioned, there's no roadmap here. We have a cast of characters that we fit in and live through, and they take us on their adventures. It just so happens we have some wonderful messages that are in the book as a result.
Yes.
But I really don't know how to answer you because we don't have a roadmap.
Well, I guess, Cyrus, could
I ask something, Cyrus?
Sure, definitely.
No, thanks, bro. Definitely what Mark said. And is that, you know, as we were writing the book, and the book was writing itself, although the editing process was 7 years, so it's not like that part is a quick and easy matter. But we realized that as much as this was a fun read, anybody who read it, we had lots of writers groups and other people giving us feedback, and the like, we realized that there was so much learning to be had in this book as well. So, and the best learning and the most, I guess, stick-like learning for kids is when they don't know they're learning. So we also had a educator's guide created and a 50-page workbook of worksheets for teachers and educators of other sorts, libraries, homeschools. So, you know, the depth of the book is way beyond just a fun read.
So, Tara, let me stay with you for a second then. How did this all begin then? How did the idea for Closet of Dreams come about?
Oh, okay. That's an easy one because our tagline, Mark's laughing because I'm sure as soon as you asked that question, his mind went right where mine did, which was to a closet. Oh, excuse me. Pets are really big in the book. And I'm sorry that you're listening to my 15-year-old rescue dog, who, of course, deciding to chime in.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was I'm sure Mark's imagery went right to a closet that was in fact, it was in my bedroom. It was an empty closet in an old house that my parents bought, and we were raised there. And this entire cast of characters spent an amazing amount of time in that closet in this pretend world. And that's where our tagline comes from, a true story about a pretend world.
Yeah. Mark, I want to go to you to kind of continue that,
yeah,
because I think one of the interesting things about Closet of Dreams is that the book is written in such a way that it really invites you to want to explore, to discover. I think what is interesting, the reason why I mentioned earlier, and you even alluded to something, and that is this book is great for all ages, because I think this is easier for young people than it is for us sometimes. What was it like for you to show the importance of not losing that desire to explore and to want to continue to learn and grow?
Cyrus, that's an easy question for me because I don't think I've ever really grown up past child. So I'm just writing as a 7, 8, 9-year-old would, and that's what comes out, storyline and characters.
And Tara, what about for yourself? What was that like for you to show the importance of not only to enjoying this adventure of Closet of Dreams, but the importance of making your own adventures?
Cyrus, I'm also a poet. And in poetry, the imagination better be the engine and not the intellect. So it really is very natural for me. And I do agree. I mean, I think a real asset is that, you know, Mark is really in touch with his 9-year-old self. So we have that, and I'm pretty in touch with you know, this wondrous imagination, which just makes life so much fun. And we're hoping that we're able to put that on the page, you know, where the writer disappears and just the story is taking the readers in of any age.
Yeah. I love that. And I love the fact, too, that, I mean, for those who have not or just being introduced to the book, Closet of Dreams, is that the main character's name is Child. And what I love about that is the direct connection to the reader, especially for young readers, especially as the story opens up, you know, with, you know, being called and saying, yes, you. I mean, I think that invitation, was that part of the hope for this book, Mark, of making the reader feel a part of the experience?
I think in terms of hope, Cyrus, that it definitely was a hope of ours, that the reader would immerse themselves into the characters and identify with one or all or some characters and be a part of the book. The writing's simple, and I think it allows the reader a very easy way to relate to the characters, the ones at least that they relate to.
Tara, what about for yourself?
Oh,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in that closet, not quite sure how old we were when we started, maybe 6 or 7. But in that closet, Mark was child, I was Gamma. So that is real. Yes, it was a pretend world, but that was the names that we gave ourselves. And interestingly, the young people and the feedback we've got when we ask, you know, who's your favorite character, and almost invariably it's child. And with the more adults, you know, we hear, oh, we just love Gamma. Anyhow, those were real names, actually.
Yeah. Well, something that people will connect to you now, Tara, but that you mentioned the chorus, you know, is, you know, a member of your fur family. Of course, we saw in the book that, you know, Gamma and Child going to the pet adoption center. So talk to about that, what that was like for you to share those loves as well in this book and to show those connections that can be made even with those outside of our family.
Did you want me to answer? Is that what you had?
Yes.
So pets have always been a very big part of Mark and my life and love. So in the closet, we should have also said, our dog, real dog, was Hilda, the dachshund. So in that closet was Mark and I, Hilda, the dachshund, and Brother Ellie, the elephant, Sister Sue, the hippopotamus, and Clarence the bear were stuffed animals that we brought to life, and they were in the closet too for all the adventures. So in terms of the pet adoption center and adopting animals, that's actually a very big part of the book. Pet Adoption Center also sponsors the Little League team, Child's Dream, and so that was imaginative. I mean, we didn't go to the Pet Adoption Center on Sundays, but our imaginations did for the book. And hopefully in the future, we're starting with one here. Our live celebration event is going to be up here where I live with the animal shelter that's here, No-Kill Amazing Animal Shelter. And it's going to be companion with a pet adoption day. And we're hoping that we can actually spread this across the country, having the books out, everything going to donations for the Pet Adoption Center, and helping animals find companion homes.
Love that. Love that. And I love, too, the connection of your lives you're able to bring to a book like this. Mark, as you all were talking earlier, you talk about really not having, you know, a plan, so to speak. But is that also part of the fun of it?
I think it's who we are, my sister and I. We feed off of each other. I'll come up with an idea and send it off to her. She'll re-edit it and then add to it. So not having the roadmap is a lot of fun and kind of keeps us on our toes. Book number two, we're a little more experienced, so we kind of have an idea of how things are going to end, and we just need to get ourselves there. It takes place in Africa, so we have a lot of travel that has to take place, but we do end up in Africa on a wild ride, so to speak. And I think it goes right to the heart of who we are, sis, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, so much goes to the heart of what we are, Cyrus, actually. That's so wonderful. You know, sibling relationships like this, you know, are such a blessing in someone's life. It's your oldest friend, you know, your most longstanding friend, usually. And, we get an idea. It's a spark. You know, it's that impulse. And in this case, book two, that became very obvious on a trip. We went to Botswana to be with elephants, and book one was in progress, and so we knew this was going to be book two. Where it's going, we didn't know. We had an idea of the major theme, which we do announce, not to give anything away, but The cast of characters is in a race to rescue an endangered and very special baby elephant in Botswana. And but everything else that has come since then has been a surprise for us, an amazing adventure. And though Mark and I now know the ending, we are, you know, three quarters of the way through the book. We knew the ending last month or so.
Love it. I do have a question that I'll talk around broadly with the two of you, because I think it goes to a bigger lesson for the reader of all ages of not judging a book by its cover, and that's talking about Eddie. I think we go into the book having a certain idea about Eddie, but what we understand later on, I'll say, is that maybe there's more to Eddie than meets the eye, right? Mark, I'll start with you on this. How important was that message? And we could talk broadly so we don't spoil it for the those who haven't read it yet, but how important was it for us to not only have someone who may seem like the antagonist in this book, but understand there's more to them than maybe we see?
It was very important, and kudos to my sister. You know, she really drove this point home in the book through Gamma, the character Gamma, and it was almost one of those moments where you start to cry a little bit when you have a character that you're trying to discuss and open up other readers' eyes to the fact that bullies are humans too, as Gamma points out in the book, and something terrible might be going on in Eddie's life, as Gamma says, and we should take a step back and not just react based on what the bully has been doing or bullying or whatever the case may be in, you know, in real life as well as child's life in the book.
Right. Tar, what about for you, since your brother is giving you a great deal of credit there with this? Why was it important for you to have there be more to Eddie than maybe we initially see?
Well, first of all, Mark and I are both in it, you know. But Gamma, I think Gamma led that insight and sort of that beautiful opening up of the suggestion of empathy and compassion, because that's who Gamma is, and that's who our grandmother was. Our grandmother was a person. Gamma is I play Gamma. I play Gamma in the closet, but we were really, I was embodying our amazing angel grandmother, who always seemed to have the compassionate view through the lens of empathy of everything, and everybody loved her, and she brought out the best in everybody. So this is it. That particular line that Mark quoted from the book is spot on. She finishes by saying, you know, did you ever think, you know, that's why he's taking it out on you, something going on in his life. And that's something our Graham would have said to us. And in the Educator's Guide, for example, in the social-emotional learning, the SEL learning aspect, obviously that was, you know, one of the more important moments about that. And to introduce to the reader, to the child, to the classroom, and every adult reading it too. I mean, imagine this world if we all took a moment after a sting, after being bullied or attacked, and just, sure, it feels bad, but also take a moment and think about how the perpetrator is suffering.
Yeah. I will say there's so much in this book, but I don't think it's a spoiler to say there's also something that is glaringly missing. And I want to talk to the two of you about this, because we don't see any references to social media. We don't see any connection to being online. Everything is really about person to person, or person to animal, and human connection. Mark, was that one of the things that you wanted people to pick up on, that this was a book that takes place in the real world, really with people engaging with people?
You hit the nail on the head, Cyrus. Sis, I don't know if we ever discussed it, but we don't have a cell phone in there, a computer. It's It's just humans being humans, almost taking us back to a different time, like when we grew up. You know, we didn't have cell phones, my sister and I, and surely no computers and no flat-screen TVs, and news information traveled a lot slower. And this is more or less, this is, and that's not more or less, it's actually the way the book is centered upon. It's about the good old days, you know, where people dealt with people and didn't sit on their phones all day, and people spoke to each other. So that was the genesis of that.
Yeah. Tori, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just say that we did on purpose, you know, in the first few years, as the book was, you know, forging this wonderful journey, we did see that it really added to have the book timeless, and here and there were some things that could have dated the book, you know, like a cell phone or something else, and if that happened, if that slipped in, we did take it out. You know, that's where the writer's will went in and took it out,
right?
So that it would never be a topical story. It would be a timeless story. You know, you look at Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, I still think, look, there's a new remake movie of it, that it's so timeless. It's you know, it's such a superstar book, and more. And they didn't have any of those things.
Right. Such a great reminder. So many great nuggets in this book, I think. And there's so many things I think people will pick up on, again, as kids are having it read to them, or they're reading it themselves, or adults are reading it to them. I think there's definitely going to be a connection that's made there. So as we find out at the end of the book, as you mentioned, Tara, that there is going to be a book two, are you feeling any added pressure? You mentioned, of course, this book took quite a while to come together and to now be released. Are you feeling any extra pressure, Tara, when it comes to book two?
Mark's laughing because I just told him I had a few nightmares the other night with. It's just so much work, Cyrus. I think any writer would tell you that. Laying the story down is one thing, and I'm not dismissing that, but actually writing to the point where it reads effortlessly to the reader, it really is a lot of work. I mean, you know, I do quote this, Hemingway said, sure, writing's easy, just go to the typewriter and bleed. And so that's the only angst I have, is that I do feel a little, that we have a little pressure to have the next book released in about a year. Having said that, we are way down the road on the next book, three quarters of the way through, including with our amazing illustrator. And so it's, yes, it's a chase and a race to the end. And again, we happen to have figured out last month how it's going to end, but how it's going to get from where it is to the end, we're just going to see, you know. So we've got bears and hot air balloons and all kinds of obstacles. And so it's going to be fun. But work.
Love it. Love it. Mark, what about for yourself? Is there any extra angst seeing that this book is being received so well already? Is there any extra pressure for you with book two?
No, none whatsoever. Just let the imagination fly, Cyrus. That's what I like to do. And my sister, she's a genius in putting it all together so we can read it. She's the writer here. I kind of just give her a few ideas and she puts them together.
So, well, I'm excited about our audience being able – I'm sorry, go ahead, Tara.
Oh, I said we're a team.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. In fact, if people see your Facebook page, they will see that. You all are literally a team. So it's great to be able to see that. Again, everyone, we've been speaking with Mark Ucra as well as Tara McMahon today, the co-authors of the new book, Closet of Dreams. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore if they don't have it. I know they'd be more than happy to order it for you. Tara, how can our audience, I mentioned the Facebook page, but how can our audience stay connected with you all?
Yes, thanks for asking, Cyrus, and also thank you so much for this time with you on behalf of my brother and me. What a delight you are, and just we really wanted to express our gratitude. Thank you very much. We have a website, so if any of the readers, viewers, parents are interested, it's childandgamma.com. So that's the name of the series, The Adventures of Child and Gamma. Closet of Dreams is book one. We're not revealing yet the title of book two, but stay tuned. And if you go to the website, you'll see that we have also a Facebook page and as well as Instagram page. So the Facebook handle is... I think if you go to closetanddreams.com and go there, at the bottom is a Facebook icon
or
an Instagram icon, and you can get to us. Otherwise, it's the author's names, Mark Ucra, Tara Salek McMahon, children's book author.
Well, definitely excited to have the two of you all, and you all are more than welcome, and looking forward to having the two of you back with book two.
Oh, we would love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that would be great.
You're real sweet.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, so let's go make today amazing. Take care.